This is Debbie Dane, and I'm speaking with Ernest Becker on Monday, November 25th, 1985. We're beginning the interview at 2:05. We're about to interview Mr. Becker about his immigration experience from Germany in 1924.
Yeah.
He was 19 years old.
Mr. Becker, if you could tell me what town you were born in Germany.
In Kassel.
And that's spelled?
In Hessen.
And that's K-A...
K-A-S-S-E-L, and in Hessen, and that is in between Frankfurt and Hanover.
Mm-hmm. And what kind of town was it? Was it a big town, little town?
Oh, a fairly big city. I should say maybe the largest Quincy.
And your father, what kind of business did he do? Was he a tradesman or?
He was treasurer of the Dresdner Bank, which is one of the biggest banks over there.
So you were fairly well off?
Oh, he was very well off, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Did you have lots of brothers and sisters? Big family, little family?
I was the only mistake.
So you went to, you grew up going to school?
Yeah. Yeah, I did 3 years of grammar school, and then, five years gymnasium, what they call it. No, it's better than high school. And then from there, when the inflation came, I went out and learned to trade. As a baker, on what they call on a fancy baker. It's 2 years in each. No pay. No pay.
So you work with a master baker?
Oh, yeah. And that goes even further. They can make you do anything. Where the bakery I worked, they had a farm besides.
A what?
A farm. I had to do a lot of farm work. And the one we had, the fancy bakery, was a very nice man. We had this bigger place. And he taught me a lot. And I was one of the family, really, there.
Was this in the town, in Kessel?
Or yeah, that was right in Kessel, see. Mm-hmm.
Did you live there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And... he would say we had a big window and it faced out in the mountains. And we started, too good a day. Let's go for a hike. And it was very good. And so was the other one where I worked as a baker. He didn't have to pay me. And this I never knew about. But I had a good education, and he was elected head of the, what would you could say, I don't know, of the bakeries, the guilds all over Germany. And he took me along as his secretary. And when I left him, which was understood that I go to the other fella, he handed me a bank book. He says, I paid you for all the time.
What a nice guy. And you didn't know that?
No, I didn't know. I didn't know the day I left. But they treated me very nice. They had no children and, with the farm, and his parents lived there. And it was very nice. Yeah. Oh. I mean, it was some rough work, but... And I think back of it today, it was rough.
Yeah, yeah. Was this during the war, World War I?
That was the end of the war. That was the end of the war, because one of the men, the foreman in the place, he had been in the Imperial Guard, and he had come back and was working. So it was that time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Do you remember much about the war?
kid, when I was 10 years old, that was when it started, 14. Oh, we ran out, we wanted to help, went up to the armory, and up to then they had the fancy uniforms, and then they put the field gray on. I helped with kids, all this, putting the new, with the, what do you call them? Stencil. Put the regimental numbers on it.
That's fun. You were part of the effort then.
Yeah, they were 10 years old. We were all in there, see? Outside of that, we didn't know too much about it. We didn't feel it, except towards the end when there was nothing to eat.
And that's when you were working on that farm?
That was really much later than that, when the war was over, when they lost it. Ours was the first big city that they came to. And everybody just went home. They hung the rifle on the tree. And we as kids, we took them, run the ammunition and shot pigeons. And sat on a curb and ate a horse, which the soldiers had just shot on the middle of the street, cut it up, put it in the big kettles, and gave it to the kids, because we hadn't had any meat for a year. We hadn't seen any.
How long did that go on? Long time?
Oh, that was quite a few weeks, but till they were all dispensed or dispersed. Funny thing, we had gotten hold of a whole case of rockets on the pistol to shoot them. But, oh, they had a barrel that big. And then came the revolution, and they put the red flags up before the city hall, or great big ones. And we could, we were in four. We'd be in a park a distance away, and shoot the rockets and set the flags on fire. I mean, those were rough days.
Did you understand about the red flags and what it meant?
No, we were just against it. That's it.
You didn't want it.
No, I mean, it was quite a thing. When the revolution came, it started up in the northern part. But then they went in trains and came in, like they came in our city. And they took over the city. And then the plundering started. They smashed the windows in the stores, took everything out they wanted.
Was that frightening?
We were kids. Mm-hmm. It was exciting. So.
Were you at home?
I was working, see. I was working then, but we got through and we go out and see what's going on. And then there were some loyal troops. They called them in and they set up machine guns. In our city, there's two long streets, straight. They set them up. Everybody clear the street, we shoot. We were in the street.
You got out of the way, didn't you?
Oh, we lay down the gutter. And they shot and they killed quite a few people.
And you remember that?
Oh, yeah. Hey.
Ooh, scary.
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, these were different times. I mean, and they really put in order in a hurry.
During all this time of the war, and lack of food, and the Germans were losing. Did you ever think about going to America at that
time? At that time, no. No, I had no idea at that time. I mean, in fact, I was kind of too young for that. I mean, it was from 10 to 15, see? Mm-hmm. You don't think much about politics then, eh?
So then how is it that you came to start hearing about America and thinking about coming over here?
Oh, no, first place, I was interested in geography and so on. But you get the wrong impression of the distances. You have no idea how big it is. And even more educated people than me had no idea how big it is. When I first started, I wanted to get on one of the North German or American line steamers. I thought I would stay over in New York and be there 2 days and go up to Niagara Falls or so.
That afternoon.
Yeah, on the map. Yeah, you open up an atlas and there's two pages, one country on one on the other. They're on the same size, but it's 10 times that big, see? So I had days on that, and I applied. And just before that, this fellow came to my father, and I wrote him.
Oh, tell me all about that, because we don't know. Mm-hmm. Tell me about the guy coming from Boston. We don't know that. You tell that story again.
Oh, yeah. Now, he came with his whole family.
From Boston?
From Boston, yeah. Now, and he had jumped ship, too. Well, that's how he got here. Mm-hmm. He had worked on the ship and jumped ship, but he made good. And he came over and he showed off his money and all of that. And gave my father the address. Your boy can write if he wants to come. And I got discouraged. I mean, the inflation came. There was no future. Nothing.
No jobs.
No. And besides, I had a trade. I didn't fit with the rest of the family.
Explain that a little bit. What do you mean?
I mean, there is quite a difference. If you worked with your hands, you belong to a lower class. And the rest of the family, they were all big officials, and my father in the bank and all of that. And wherever I went, I was Mr. Becker's son. But that's so far as it went. Every once in a while, got a remark. Hey, you are nothing. So I get fed up with that, and I didn't approve of some of my father's friends and the way they acted. I mean, they were aristocrats. So, with that, I get out.
Did you know you wanted to go to America, No,
I wanted to go to America, yeah. But, and that fella there wrote back then and sent the ticket by return mail. Yeah.
Did you send him money?
I had no money. By that time, my father had no money either. I mean, the inflation wiped everything out, see. You had nothing. If you had any property, that was all right. But even then, you had a house on, you had sold it and took a mortgage on it. When it got so far out of line, the guy had the mortgage. He come in. Here is the money for the mortgage. It was a streetcar fare. Mm-hmm. I mean, from one day to another, the money was nothing.
And how had you heard about America? Just through this guy, or had you read about
it? Oh, no, I had read about it, see. I read about it. I always been a great reader. Mm-hmm. And fortunately, I had met a teacher who took an interest in me. and asked me to help him in the library, and he advised me what to read and so on. I've been lucky with that with some fellows. Another professor was interested in history, and he asked me to come and help him work in the museum.
What did you think it would be like?
I really had no idea, no. Probably, I mean, I was willing to work hard. And so they said, if you work hard, you'll make it. So I got over here, and that was kind of miserable, coming in with the Fall River boat on Ellis Island.
Wait a second, wait till we get there. So he sent you tickets?
Yeah.
And then you said to your father, I'm leaving, I'm going now.
Yeah.
Then where'd you go from your
family? Went up to Hamburg. Uh-huh. Oh, my father and mother went with me so far as Hamburg. Uh-huh. They waved the boat. I'm kind of glad they were good. I was gone.
Do you remember the name of the boat?
Yeah, the Westphalia.
And didn't you tell me it was one of the...
The last one, the last, I think it might have been the last one that went to Ellis Island. That you can check in the records.
Mm-hmm. When you left, did you have to go through medical exams?
Oh, first in Hamburg.
Yeah, tell me about that. Do you remember?
Oh, yeah, now they had like a regular village where they put the people that were going on the boat. And it was kind of nice. It was like a motels and so on. Very nice, and you got the physical examinations and everything. It was kind of nice.
Did they give you papers after you'd been examined? And
oh, yeah. Well, I mean, you couldn't get on without the papers. See, and then they took you on a small boat, picked you out to the big one. And they seemed awful big.
Had you ever seen a boat that big before?
I had been in Hamburg before, but I'd never seen the big liners. The time I was in Hamburg, there was still a lot of sailboats. I was 6 years old. And the harbor was a mess, the sails.
And then you traveled steerage, third class.
Yeah, third class, yeah. Yeah, steerage, they didn't call that anymore. It still was steerage.
They call it third class.
Yeah, steerage or tourist class. Oh, yeah.
And describe what that was like down there. What did it look like? What were the conditions?
Oh, the room cabins weren't bad, no. And the dining rooms were very nice. And we got on there the first time we really got some decent food. See, there was still nothing in Germany. I remember the first morning came down, and gee whiz, there was an orange on each table. I hadn't seen any oranges for years. My grandmother used to give us some for Christmas.
So there were actual tables you went to on the boat?
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, nice. White tablecloths and everything. I mean, it was very nice, even on third class. There were four to a cabin, four bunks, but that was nothing.
And this was a German line?
Yeah, that was the Hamburg American line. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And
what did you do at night on the boat? How did you
enjoy? There'd be entertainment, and there were dancing, and it was good, see. But there are kinds of people there. I remember when we left in Hamburg, I was standing on the railing too and waved. And there was a fellow standing next to me, Polish fellow. And he yelling to his mother, and his mother was on there. He said, give my regards to the pigs. I always thought, and I mean, it was kind of sad. I didn't shed any tears. I figured, all right, this is new.
Want you to stay, or did she?
No. I mean, women in that day would never have much to say.
Mm-hmm.
And besides, once I was on the boat, I said, this is it. Shouts, no. In fact, I had met the fellow, we talked, and we went down, we sat down, played chess. We didn't even see the end of Germany. When it went out of sight, we were playing chess. We didn't even go out and look.
Were you aware that you may never go back again?
Oh, I had intended to come back after 2 years. But after the first year, if you had asked me, I could have gone, would have gone probably. After that, no more.
How long did the trip take coming across? A long time?
We were on the way, I think, been there 2 weeks, 14 days. 12 or 14 days.
Any storms on the way?
Oh, yeah. We had some bad storm there. And I didn't get seasick.
You didn't?
No.
Did anyone on the boat?
Dining room was empty. I know why. One of the days was the day before we got here, so nobody showed up. There were all the oranges on the table, and the few of us were around, we collected the oranges. I came home with a bank of oranges.
That's great. And did you make friends on that trip?
Yeah, made some friends. With some of them, I had known them for quite a while.
Did they have big plans coming to America? Were they all?
Some of them, they were better situated. They had relatives and so on. And somehow that helped me later on. Mm-hmm.
Were some going to Boston and all over?
Oh, yeah, some were going to Boston. Mm-hmm. And we got here on the morning of 4th of July. And they took all the first and second class passengers off. And that was that. We had to wait because they didn't work on Ellis Island on the 4th of July. And we were out, we could see Coney Island. Well, in those days, you know, it's not now, so they had all kinds of steamers, excursion steamers, with a band on it and everything. And they're going up there. And then they had big fireworks at night, and we could see it. I sat up over on the first class desk. We had the whole ship once the passengers were off with a young girl, and we talked about what kind of might expect, see what might happen. I never knew a name, and I. But we sat there the whole night. And then the next morning we went to Ellis Island.
Did you know what the 4th of July was? Had you studied
it? No.
You just saw the fireworks?
No, they have a holiday, that's it, too.
So, do you remember seeing, before we get off the ship, did you see the Statue of Liberty when you came in?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we saw it really the next morning. We did. When we got in there, they stayed fairly well out, see. But then the next morning we went right by it.
Do you remember what kind of thoughts went through your head when you looked up at this?
Listen, I didn't know much about that.
Yeah.
I mean, we knew that's the big monument, and you get in there, see. But I went there later. And I went all the way up in the head, when you still could go there. Now you can.
Then you got taken to Ellis Island by a ferry, right?
Yeah, by a ferry.
And you got off, then what did they do to you? Did they put you in lines or get you?
Oh, first you had to sit in the big hall. And that's where the mess was.
Yeah, tell me about, what did it look like?
See, they had to, those, like those street covers, you know, so all there. And all of a sudden the water all started to come out of there. And there were people there, they got climbed up on the benches and sat on the back.
Was there a storm or the tide?
No, the tide came in there, see.
And it came right up through the floor?
Oh, yeah, well, it was a mess.
Did it smell, too?
Gee, I don't really know. Most likely it must have.
Yeah.
And then they called in by alphabet or whatever it was, I don't know. They called you in and take your clothes off, and you went through all that whole rigmarole examination again.
Did you remember what kind of things they did to you to test your health?
No, they looked in your eyes, you know, they folded the eyelids back. I don't remember that it was too bad. I figured it was a sensible thing probably to do. But I said in the book they were prescribing, they used the shoehorn to open up the eyes.
That's what they told you, a shoehorn?
No, that's what the book says I read. I didn't see it. No, they just did it and kind of folded it. And just keep going. And
lots of you, lots of people?
Oh, isn't there hundreds of them there? See, they were for holiday, so many more boats came in. We probably had 400 or 500 on it.
Do you remember if you had a tag that said your name?
Oh, yeah, probably did. I think so, but I don't actually remember that. No. But I'm pretty sure we did. Traveler's Aid picked me up on it. Traveler's Aid picked me up on it, see, later on.
Yeah. And what did it sound like? I mean, were there, if you were a television camera, and you were looking around, what did people look like? What did it sound like? Were there lots of different languages?
Oh, yeah, now there were. It was kind of a strange sight, but that I had expected. Mm-hmm. With the women with the shawl around the head. And you had a lot of Jewish people. And you had a lot of Jewish people with the big hats and the black hats. And I met them first in Ellis Island, not in Ellis, in Hamburg, before we got on the there they are, elected. So each group more or less stayed by itself. You expected that. You were going to a foreign place. Things were different, see? And I got through there in about the afternoon.
You didn't spend the night?
No, not on Ellis Island, no. No, I don't think they had any facilities for staying at night, except they want to send you back.
Were you aware that you might be sent back?
No, I didn't worry about that. So.
Did you see?
I was healthy. So.
Did you see anyone else sent back or separated?
Oh, yeah, there were. See, there's a funny thing they did, you know. You have to have $25 or you couldn't get off. Now, I had it. A fella had sent me them for that purpose. But the day before, the officer come around the ship. Who hasn't got the $25? Well, some of them put up their hands. And, all right, we'll give you $25. The line, they didn't want to send anybody back. So they gave you, just before you got ready to go out, they gave you the $25. And when you got by the guy, they had another guy to pick up the $25. So you still landed and had nothing.
Wow.
It was based around it, you know.
That's
they knew this was done. Mm-hmm. But they didn't want to interfere either.
Did you remember any people on the island that were trying to sell you things? Or?
No, I mean, they had a place there you could buy food. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was really good. It cost $1. And you got a big bag full, and there were cold cuts in it, and rolls, French bread in it, all kinds of food. It was good because you didn't get anything anywhere else, see? I still had some of that when I got to Boston. Besides, I had my bag of oranges.
And you could buy all that for $1?
Yeah, you buy that for $1.
You were telling me.
I had a few bucks extra, $5 or $10, and I changed it. I got that, I was going to bring it. I got my first buck, I forgot it.
But tell me, how did you, because you paid for the
lunch? I got it in the change.
And they gave you a silver dollar?
Yeah. Oh, in those days, you got that, see? You got gold pieces in change.
And your first American silver dollar?
Yeah. It's a real old one, too. I think it's worth some. I think it's 1978 or so. And the funny part is, I've been broke twice. I had to spend it. That was the last one I had. I told the guy, hold that. I want it back eventually. I got it back each time.
No kidding. And you still have it.
I still have it.
That's great. So then you got ready to go.
I know. Well, one time I spent it the last time I went. I was married then. Took my wife home. I didn't have a job. Didn't have much. We had enough to eat in the house.
2 minutes.
Okay. So I said, the heck with it. Let's forget it. We go to movies. I spend my last buck. I told the girl to hold it. I got a job the next day. So they got my buck back.
We should stop on this time.
Yeah. Well, you want to stop on that right now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just had to. This is the end of side one, Ernest Becker, number 096. It's 2:35. Of side two, Ernest Becker, number 096. It's 2:35.
Before we leave Elephant, I just wanted you to give me an idea of how they treated you. What was it like to be received there? Honestly.
Impersonal, that's all. That's business. Mm-hmm. Impersonal. Not rough. Mm-hmm. No. Just impersonal.
Had you ever heard of the expression, the Island of Tears?
I heard that, yeah. Now, and I mean, I can see that, too. See, a lot of people, they come together there, and then they got off. Some of them went so far as California. They had made friends in 2 weeks on the boat. I can see that. I can see that, and I mean, a lot of the people on there, they've never been anywhere. Never seen anything. And, it is quite a change. You don't know a language. I didn't know a word. I had a little book with all the phrases. And the first thing I learned, wait a minute. And I get it out. I made out pretty good. I made out pretty good.
Was that your idea to bring the book? Who gave you that book?
I bought it over in Hamburg, I think, or so.
That was a good idea.
You know, if you go, even if you're as a tourist now, would go somewhere, you'd buy something like that, wouldn't you? Because you can't always depend on them to speak English. Although, like you travel, most European countries you get away with your out English. So does he feel about it? He said, got a lot of cousins out there. And I always told him, I said, why don't you keep up your German? Why don't they learn English? He just been over there a couple of weeks ago.
Then you left Ellis Island that same day.
Yeah.
You had your lunch, and you got on the Fall River line. Is that
yeah.
Right? Tell me about what that was like.
Now that was a mess. We were down the bottom of the ship, and then they had those three boats, not too clean. I had a fellow with me who was made a friend on the boat, and we were friends a long while after that. And we had some bags to eat. But other lower bunks were empty. We had took the two top bunks. We agreed once they were awake during the night, we'd take turns. And there were all those colored fellas. The only time we seen them was in the circus. And they were shooting crap there, and they had a monkey with them, and you couldn't sleep. It was going on all night long.
Were some you surprised to see these colored men?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, no. I hadn't given that any thought before, but once I got here, I took it like this. So, towards the morning, I get kind of sick of this. I got out and walked up. And they say, well, very luxurious upstairs, those boats. And I lay down on the sofa and slept, really slept. And then by the morning, then we pulled in the Fall River and they put us on the train. And I was impressed with the train compared to German. See, here was our one class. Over there, three classes. And
you like that idea?
Oh, this one, yeah. But then thinking back, that three classes was fun too. It was just from benches in there. And the farmers, they come in, they might bring a goat or a goose or anything to go on the market. It was fun to watch it, see? But here they didn't have that, see? This was all nice upholstered seats and everything. Very nice conductor, very friendly. We got to Boston. South Station, that was still, they had the big glass dome and all that over it.
Was that impressive?
No, they were like that in Europe, they were all over. Smoky and everything else, you know. Smelly. And the conductor took me to the Private Aid Society. They had a woman there on the desk and so on. He says, this fellow will be picked up later. Now, and that was probably 8 o'clock in the morning. They called up the people I was supposed to go to, the one that sent the ticket. Oh, we were moving today. We can't come. Got to wait till late. So, I got kind of bored there, sitting in the station there. I walked out, and all the way up to where Filene's is, and so on. Walked around. I have a good sense of direction. I could walk around and come right back to where I came from. And they were all upset they lost them. I went. That was all right. And I remember a big band playing there. Some big guy arrived from somewhere. I don't know who it was. I had no idea. But so then they picked me up.
Were you nervous that whole day that they weren't going to come and get you? Or?
No, I wasn't really. I know they picked me up, but I didn't give that even a thought. I was wondering where I was going to go to. So they picked me up in the car and took me to the new house. It was all a mess yet. Naturally, but it was a big house in a nice section in Dorchester.
Didn't you tell me that you were... didn't you tell me that you got put in jail or something one night?
Yeah, no, the night in New York, not the night, the afternoon, day when, from the morning when we got over to Brooklyn, they put us in jail.
What'd they do that for?
So we wouldn't get lost. They put us in the cages and locked up. This fellow and I, we were in one. Well, they said, don't worry about anything, you know.
Until the boat from Fall River came.
Yeah. No, it was my one safe way to keep us. We wouldn't get lost. Didn't do us any harm. We had something to eat. Didn't do us any harm. I mean, I thought it was a sensible thing to hold us so we wouldn't get lost.
Okay. All right.
That didn't bother me at all.
Okay. So then you came to this man's house. Did he... You were 19 years old. Did you speak English? No.
Oh, he did. I didn't. Not a word. Not a word. But he spoke German. And the whole family spoke German. See, there were He and his wife and their two sisters and a nephew, and they all spoke German. Very strong Bavarian accent, which I didn't speak, but I learned it. But no, it was all right. I had a very nice room, and the other, they had the nephew. He was next to me in the room. There was enough rooms in the house. It was a very nice section with a park in front and so. Next morning, we had to go to work. In the bakery.
So he had a job for you.
Oh, yeah. Now, that's where the thing comes really in. Bill calls it the indentured labor. That's really what it was.
But he brought you over.
He brought her over to work there, sheep, $16 a week. Now in those days, that was not too bad, but it was bad enough. $10 for room and board, $5 to pay back on the fare. I got $1.
And when did it occur to you that this is why he brought you over here? Right away? I mean, when did you figure out what the score was?
Oh, no, at that time I didn't pay too much attention. I mean, I had a job and I had a place to live. It was plenty to eat, which we didn't have had for years. So I was better off. And originally I sent every second back home because a dollar, that's something watching in those days, see. That's something you people here have no idea. If you had $100, you could have bought the biggest apartment house in town. Okay. So, well then, it was hard work and all of that.
Did you ever wish that you could go back during that period?
I could go back, but how could I go? I had no money.
Would you, if you had the money, would you have gone home?
I don't think so. Too stubborn. I don't think so. Oh no, just to go in the movies. There was one thing I didn't like what he did to us outside of the hard work. He says, we got company coming today. I don't want them to know I have any greenhorns here. Here is a buck. Get out of the house at 9 and don't come back for before midnight. Now, buck was quite a bit of money, see? And in those days I was used to walking. I know exactly the first day he pulled it to me. Not the first Sunday I was here, but one of the early ones. So I walked from Dorchester all the way down Dorchester Avenue, Atlantic Avenue, and then I looked up and see, it was ended up in Chinatown. And from there is this street, I don't know if you know Boston well enough, where the Schubert Theater was. Gee, that sounds German. I got to take a look. I went over there. And from there I walked over in the public garden. And somewhere along there in Troxville, I bought the map of Boston. I mean, in those days, it was much quarter or something like that. And I sat down and studied it, where I was, where I was going to go. And I walked from the garden up Huntington Avenue, looked around the library when I saw it, and all the way up till the Brookline, and along by Jamaica Pond, and then across Franklin Park.
That's a long way.
I was used to walking. You know, we walk a lot in Germany, see, and I hiked a lot. I used to go up there sometimes in the dark in the morning. I want to be on top of the mountain to see the sunrise. So walking didn't bother me at least a bit, see. And then I ended up in a MUFIS, and in those days they had the big vaudeville programs and everything. It was quite a thing. Worked on Columbia Road, and then later on back over, and it was just about midnight when I got home. And at 3-4 o'clock I had to be with work.
That's rough.
And I was young. But, and then, but I want to bring this in. We work nights. And we come, a couple of cops, they all would come by. And one of them had been in the American Army after the First World War. And he'd been stationed in Koblenz for quite a while. And he spoke some German. So, gee, I was glad with that. And he'd come in every time they make the rounds and talk. And then they come around, he says, we have a load of liquor out there. This was prohibition. We just got it off a boat in Freeport Street. Can you hide it? And the other guy, we hid it. We put it down underneath the, they had pallets and we shoved it underneath the pallets. And then during the week, they come and pick up a few bottles at night and they sell it, see?
Did you get a bottle out of it?
Oh, yeah, we got some. Sometimes even get a little money.
So this was America, huh?
Yeah. I mean, that helped me a lot later on. And so I worked there for a year, and this went on. I got acquainted with that other fellow that had been with me in the boat when we came. He had relatives over on the other side of Boston. And he came and looked me up, and he took me with him in a German club and so on. And I got to know, and this fellow where I worked for, oh, he hated that. He didn't want to say, you guys should rest, you can work more than more.
But you were a young man.
Yeah. Yeah, but what could we do? See, we didn't have much money. Not out of that money, but he gave us. We gave that a little more later on. But, so, and then it came to Thanksgiving. That was my second Thanksgiving already. And I was sick. I had the flu and the temperature. And he insisted I go to work. And well, I did from the house, walked down towards the bakery, and I met the cop. I told him, I says, I want to get out. I am all paid up. I don't owe anything now. I want to get out. Oh, he says, why don't you? I wait here. Well, I went in, packed my things, and then he says, you can't take anything, you can't get out. So I went back, saw the cop. He says, I go with you. He says, you can't stop that boy. If he wants to get out, he can go out. And you can't stop him holding his things. And he says, I got some friends. I got your place to stay tonight. So he took care of me.
So he didn't want you to leave this man.
Oh, no. Well, heck, where would you get cheap labor like that, see?
And you were there, it took you a year and a half to pay back?
Yeah. Yeah. So, I've slept in the place where the cop left me.
Were they Germans too?
No. No, good Irish people. And the next morning, I went out looking for the job. And you know, in those days, the Globe was the thing to buy. Now, I could speak quite a bit then. I'd gone to evening school already. And so, you saw the ad, and I knew about that already through conversations. Seiler, the caterer, he was the big man in Boston. He got all the big business. He had a add in, he wanted a fancy baker, decorating and all that. I went, he right down by the soon on the bakery, right down by the where the Stadler is now. I sit on the steps there in the morning at 6 o'clock. Wait, he came. He came in. I asked him, "I don't want any greenhorns." I paid him back later. Yeah, I don't know if I should bring that in now. So he chased me out. Later on, I had some real good jobs. I was one that worked in the Chamber of Commerce. I got that by accident. I had worked out in the Braeburn Country Club. That was, sometimes you have 20 Rolls Royces out in the yard and so. And I was very happy there. Not much work. And privileges could play golf in the afternoon. And I learned to drive there. One of the cooks was an Italian. He had driven a tank in the Italian army. And he taught me to drive. And the Braeburn Country Club for golf course. So, and they run that like a hotel, and finally it got so that we had 8 people. And about 8 people in the kitchen, and 8 guests.
That's the life.
No, and I had done well. They had all the society weddings and so, and they used to let that out to caterer. And I had said, I take it over and make the big wedding cakes and all of that. And I was making out all right there, see. And the head of the committee, household committee, came. He says, "Ernie, you see yourself, we haven't got enough work here." Oh, I said, "I know it." Now he said, "Where would you like to go?" He says, "We got a lot of influential members here." No, I said, "I hear that Chamber of Commerce would like to make a change. They had a good man and he died, and they haven't got really what they want." I says, "I like to go in the Chamber of Commerce. And besides, it's handy for me. I'm 6. And South Station is right there with the train to Braintree." Mm-hmm. "Oh, yes, we see what we can do." 2 days later, he came back. "Got an interview for you." You go down and "See, I'm pretty sure you get the job," he says. We can put pressure on." There was a, when their manager, he was a real Prussian. And, you know, a lot of those got over here, they have been army officers, got involved in a duel, and they had to leave. I knew several of them, they got a deal like that. They picked them off. "You got $25, go." And then they didn't have to go to jail. So he was one of those. Herr von Kuhn. He's long dead. Any names. So, don't mention any names. So I made a mistake on that one. So he took me down. He says, "All right. I've been pressured to hire you and pay you a good salary." He says, "Go down here." "Oh, this is the shop." He introduced me around. And he says, "Now, because I have to pay you so much money, before you go home, you got to fire 2 guys." I didn't know anything about it, see. And he says, "You won't see me again before a month. You're on your own. That's it." Well, I did that. I spent the day there, and I fired 2. One of them was the one to his place I was taking. But they were unsatisfied with, see. I knew that. So, next morning I come in. Nobody showed up.
Why?
The others quit and brought their protests of the whole thing.
Oh, no. So there you were.
Yeah, I was. I didn't know where anything was. And on a big dinner, 1,500 people that night. For Captain Stedman, he had rescued some people on an ocean liner where another one sank or something. The Chamber of Commerce gave him a big dinner.
How'd you do it?
Oh, I sat there. I didn't know. And then I thought of a fella, he was out of work. I got hold of him. And then I knew of a German baker there. Always was available because he drank too much. But they say he is the best man around. I called him. And I said, Paul, I said, got a job for you here. Will you come in? Sure. But you got to have a pint. I know my way around by then. I got on a pint. I says, okay, you get the pint when you're done. He came. He was with me for a long while. He was the best bread baker and roll baker I ever saw. And he could work like mad. He didn't know much of anything. He waits or anything. It was our guess. Oh, he was wonderful. We got along fine. No trouble with him.
I want to ask you before, I don't want to run out of tape, because when we were talking about how you learned English on the phone,
yeah.
Tell me one of the, you went to night school.
Oh, yeah.
But then how else did you learn? You told me that...
Oh, I learned a lot. First I went to grammar school, graduated. Then I went to high school, and eventually graduated from that too. And we were very fortunate there in the that year. We had a teacher, big woman. She really didn't want to do much. And she started off and telling us should have a debating team. She said, you will learn a lot that way. And she was right. So we had a debating team. There was two Germans on it, a Jewish girl, a Danish girl, and an Italian fellow, with the five of us. We got along well. And they set it up there where we, first just in the class, you know. And we went to the library. The library opened at 1 o'clock Sundays. Oh, and you'd be surprised how many, all the debates you can find itself in there. So we used to meet, and we go in there, and we study. Then we go out for lunch or dinner. And after that, to a show, usually. Mm-hmm. And we stuck together.
And you all spoke English with each other?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, we had to. We had to, see? But we learned an awful lot there.
And tell me the other way. You said you went to movies.
Yeah. And those were where they had the writing in there all the time, yeah.
The silent movies.
Yeah.
So you had the subtitles.
Yeah. Now, you learned a lot there. And I mean, I had a book, tried to, my little book there, and tried to read out of there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, our debating team, we defeated pretty near every high school in Boston.
Good for you.
Yeah, we had a good, and we had a good time learning.
Yeah.
By that time, we were really good.
We're running out of time, so I want to cover just a few more things. Your citizenship.
Yeah.
When did you decide to become...
Oh, really, right off. I was just waiting for 5 years for her.
Did you go and take a test, or did you...
No, you didn't have to take a test. You just applied, and then they asked you one question. And I don't know what mine was. I know my wife, that was years later. They asked what the colors of the flag are. So that is silly, see. But so we did well, and I went after that. I went to Lowell Institute, and I took some courses in Harvard College in economics and bookkeeping, accounting. And
when did you first feel that you were an American as opposed to a German anymore? Ever?
Oh, by the time I got my citizenship, yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Did you ever think about going back to Germany even after
No.
Why not?
I didn't fit into that anymore.
What do you mean?
No. Only there's one thing I never liked. You probably never have experienced anything. German bureaucracy. I couldn't go for that. Now we're getting some of it here.
Yeah.
It's not a good thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And over there, that is, oh my gosh. In my days, even the letter carrier, you probably had to salute them. Anything that had a uniform on, you had to salute. I didn't go for that. But tell you one funny little story. As I must tell it. When I first came over, the first few months, there was a nice little Irish girl that worked in the bakery there, counter. And I took her out to a circus. And her brother spoke a little German. She took me home. He'd been in the occupation army. And they taught me all those things. Thank you, glad to meet you, and all of that. So on the way home, I had my head full of that. They were pounding on me all night. And my cat in the streetcar was crowded. I stepped on a girl's foot when I got a 16-foot. I felt sorry. I says, oh, glad to have met you. The boyfriend got so mad, I had to get off at the next stop and walk home.
Oh, that's wonderful. I think we finished with this.
This is the end of side two.